أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to another episode of Living the Quran through the Living Quran. And in this particular series, we've been going over chapter number 36, Surah Yasin, also known as the heart of the Quran. Today we want to reflect on four verses, verses number 14, 15, 16, and 17. Now, before we go into the Arabic and the English translation and the very brief commentary, we mention when we should realize the fact that up until this point, we began, you know, with the introduction to the Quran, the importance of the book, the recipient of the book, our own actions and accountability. And then in our last discussion, verse number 13, we were beginning the story, as God puts it, of a town in which God's messengers had been sent, had been deputed to them, to bring them to the path of guidance. In the four verses that we'll be reviewing today, albeit very briefly, with a very short commentary, we would, based on the Tafsir of Nur, of Sheikh Mohsin Qaraati, we'll be spending a bit more time rather on the points to learn, on the takeaway points, rather than the actual commentary. But we do see that these messengers made their way to the town, and then they entered and they began to enter into dialogue and discourse and discussion with the people of that city. Without further ado, let us have a listen to the Arabic and the English translation. We'll come back with a very brief commentary on a general theme, and we will then devote the remainder of our time to some of the important learning points that we can derive from this from these four verses of Surah Yasin. Allah says the following:
إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِن شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ
At first, we sent to them two messengers, but they rejected both of them. Then we strengthened them, the two messengers, with a third. So they said, as a general message to the people, we have been sent to you as messengers by God. They, the contemporaries of these two messengers, gave a general reply, you are only human beings like ourselves. The most gracious God has revealed nothing to you. You are simply telling lies. They said, our Lord knows that we have been, of course, sent to you. And our duty is only to convey the message in clearer terms. One of the things that we see amongst humanity, not only at the time of the revelation of these verses, but really during the course of human history, is that there may be people who believe in the divine, who believe in a higher nature, a higher power, God, whatever you call him. They may believe in the supreme being, but they reject the notion that God would ever send prophets, that there would ever be laws and commandments to follow. There are people who believe this, that no, there is no such thing as divine revelation, as prophets, as messengers, as divinely appointed leaders, but they do believe in God. And so God responds to this. Not only are these people in this story explaining the same to their messengers, that you know they refer to God as Ar-Rahman, as the most beneficent, the all-beneficent, but they don't believe these people to be sent by God on a divine mission. So God actually speaks about this in another passage of the Quran where he says the following, and they do not assign to Allah the attributes due to him when they say, Allah, God, has not revealed anything to a mortal. In this verse from Surah Al-An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 91, God shows us that there are people who, you know, downplay God's worth, they downplay God's abilities or his plans, and they say that human beings are not sent from the divine. They don't have any role or responsibility in this system. God is there and we just have guidance, you know, it's intuitive guidance that we're given, but there is no such concept as prophethood. And obviously, you know, this is a lengthy discussion in terms of belief in prophethood, which makes up a core fundamental principle of Islamic theology. And we don't obviously have the ability and time to go into that topic in this series. But suffice it to mention that no, prophethood is a reality within Islam. God does depute individuals to speak on his behalf. He gives them the messages, the words to convey. And this is prophethood. This is messengership, where God gives these individuals messages to convey to the rest of humanity. As we said, that the commentary given by Sheikh Mohsin Qaraati is very brief, so we will spend more of our time today in learning some of the takeaway points that he has mentioned in his commentary. And let us start with his first point. Point number one, sometimes inviting to the truth and encouraging good and forbidding evil must be done as a collective rather than individually. As we see that these two prophets were strengthened, were supported by a third individual. And sometimes it's not enough just as an individual to go and try and do good and bring about change. No, it calls for a collective method, a collective measure, a collective group of individuals to work together. Another takeaway message that we can derive from this, from these four verses of Surah Yasin and the story of these prophets is the following, that sometimes we should not simply give up by discarding and rebuffing our opponents. Rather, sometimes we have to strengthen ourselves by bringing others on board to assist us. We see that it was not enough that two prophets were sent, that Allah sends a third individual to help them out. And sometimes, even in our own day-to-day life, we may come across similar situations where it's not a one-man or a one-woman job. It calls for the help and support of many people within the community. A very important point to keep in mind, especially for those who are community builders and people in charge of guidance and leadership of the society. Another point to keep in mind is that the number of people involved in propagation is commensurate to the needs of the society that they are going to. If you have a community of 50 people, 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, you may only need one or two scholars, one or two religious personalities in the midst to help and guide them. But if you have a community of thousands, of 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people, it's logically a fallacy to believe that one person can take care of the needs of so many individuals. If God sends three messengers to this one particular town that we are told about, we have to think about our own situation. If we live in religious communities which are large, how many religious guides are there working on a full-time basis to help every group of individuals within that particular religious community? And although there are many points, we'll conclude with this last final point, which is that the responsibilities of the prophets, messengers of God, and those who are conveying the message, who are working on behalf, we can say, of the messengers of God, is to plainly articulate the clear path, the straight path to God. It is not their job to forcefully convert people, to push them to the religion. Their job is merely to give the message, to teach, to educate, to propagate, to disseminate, and then allow the people to either accept it or to reject it. We close and we ask God to give us the ability to continue to better understand Surah Yasin and to, more importantly, to implement its teachings within our day-to-day life. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.